Now, if you're listening to us yesterday on the programme, we were speaking about the issue of the gorse fires that are happening around the county at the moment. 33 of them over the weekend. More yesterday in West Kerry and particularly South Kerry. 33 call-outs over this weekend. A lot more, it sounds like, from yesterday. Some video going up on large sections of social media, different websites showing large tracts of land being burned, particularly in the Dingle area and in the Carrasaveen, the Castle Cove and South Kerry areas yesterday, putting, I suppose, the fire services under pressure. The deadline for burning or allowable burning on the land is the 1st of March until next September. So I suppose with the dry weather, as we were speaking about yesterday with the IFA and other things on the programme, it's always likely to happen. However, many people are objecting to the process in itself, saying it's not the best way to manage land and it damages biodiversity. With me in the line to talk about this in more detail, we have Anlan Dunn, who is Green Party representative for the Tralee area. Anlan, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Morning, Gerry. Thanks for having me on this morning.
You're not happy with what you're seeing?
No, I mean, I don't think very many people are happy. I think society in general has moved on beyond seeing this practice as acceptable. I think in the main, people are very concerned about the impact of their property, but also to their health. I mean, the amount of smoke that's emitted from these hillside fires is absolutely phenomenal. And like the Chief Fire Officer, Mr. Flynn, yesterday spoke about, if the wind is blowing in the wrong direction, the impact to communities is massive. And he gave an extremely poignant example of what happens if that smoke is blown into a primary school full of young children and the impact of their health. So I think, we need to look at better land management practices and see if there's an alternative way of enabling, you know, an amount of farming that is sustainable, but in a way that doesn't have such a widespread negative impact to our, you know, rural communities, particularly in urban areas also.
Yeah, there are environmental impacts, there are biodiversity impacts, there are practical impacts as well. I mean, over the weekend in West Cork, wildfires that raged almost knocked out a vital link in one of the busiest air traffic routes between the US and Europe. This is on Mount Gabriel, over the village of Skull, and they were fighting that for hours. So that practical side of it, as well as the way things can go out of control when the wind blows the wrong direction. But what do you say to this? And a listener gets in touch this morning, Pat, who says, if you bring up the topic of hill burning, will you please read this out? A lot of sheep farmers have no choice only to burn hills. If we don't burn, bushes will get out of hand and there'll be nothing for the sheep to eat. The ash from the burning acts as a fertilizer and green grass comes along afterwards. What are we supposed to do? Get rid of our sheep and stop burning just to suit others? It's not that easy. What's your response to that argument?
I think we have a broad community of people in Kerry, and I think, you know, hill farming and sheep rearing is certainly part of who we are in Kerry. And I think it's important that we don't get to the point whereby we're pointing fingers at different groups or different parts of society and blaming people. What we have here is an incentive that comes from the Department of Agriculture to have farmers manage their land in this way. And we need to remove that incentive so that other land management practices, and I'm not a farmer, so I'm not going to be able to give you detail on what those are, but other land management practices are brought in. We have one of the worst ratings with regards to the amount of wild countryside in Europe. We are at the top of the pile when it comes to having a loss of biodiversity, impact to habitat, and we need to look at better ways of doing this. Just because we've done it for a long time and it's seen as a traditional way of managing the land, that doesn't mean that we can't look to new solutions. If you look at the extremely positive moves being taken, particularly in West Kerry, where a lot of these fires are being set, across different aspects of farming to reduce impact and to reduce costs to farmers as well. I mean, we see sheep farmers out at the moment asking for additional subsidies and ways of getting paid because their livelihoods are threatened. Well, let's do that, but let's do it in a way that makes sense for them, but also the communities that they operate in, because I wouldn't be happy if there was a hill fire outside of Blennerville where my kids go to school and it was blowing smoke down into where there's 100 plus children running around in a playground. Like, that's not acceptable anymore. It's 2023, and we need to be looking at modern ways of managing this land. And I do believe the solutions are there. I just think that we need to remove the incentive to burn the land, because everyone's entitled to a wage. Everyone's entitled to live in their communities and feel safe. And I don't think we can continue this practice where people's property is impacted, where they're threatened, and where the stress, if you were living on a hillside nearby one of these fires, you'd be very stressed about you know, the potential for that fire to change direction and impact your house.
So what,
and if you're an elderly person that may be less mobile, what are you going to
you'd
do?
Have, I mean, concerns,
how
yeah,
are you
you'd
going
have
to get
concerns
away from it?
Undoubtedly, but what would the vision of the Green Party be when we get to that? Would it be banning all hillside burning? Would it be incentivizing farmers to get out of hill sheep farming? And what would our mountainsides look like, and why would that be of benefit?
I think what we'd be looking at really is coming up with solutions that enable people to make a wage, whether that be from grazing hillsides, and I'm sure that'll continue into the future, but also to make, you know, be paid by government to maintain wilder patches of land that do support habitats. And I think there's definite moves in that direction. I don't want to sit here as someone who's not from a farm background and try and create solutions on air, but essentially what it comes to is where's the money and how do you follow it? And if the Department of Agriculture can remove the incentive for cutting back brush and scrubland and make it an incentive,
because at the moment, and we've talked about this for years, and at the moment farmers are penalized if they don't maintain their land.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's wrong. I mean, the thing is that it's all grand for me to be sitting here saying that we should be maintaining these environments as wild in some respects where it's appropriate to do so. But if the person at the other end is saying, well, if I do that, then I'm going to be out of pocket, then that's not fair, and we cannot have that situation. So we need to see the Department of Agriculture and the Minister for Agriculture taking this very seriously and changing this practice by incentivizing people to keep these environments in a way that allows everyone to coexist, and not in a way that creates unsafe situations. And the impact to people's health from all this smoke blowing around the place
why doesn't Damon Ryan talk to Charlie McConnell then and remove those incentives and make the change? Because every year we're in the same situation, albeit the Kerry Fire Service said yesterday, if you go back 10-20 years, there was, you know, twice or three times the number of fires that were going on. So maybe things are improving, but not improving fast enough, because we see this every season, every year.
So we have many ministers in government at the moment, and Minister Malcolm Noonan is responsible for the National Parks and Wildlife Services. And in the past few years since the Greens have been in government, we have increased the amount of funding to the NPWS by a very significant amount, so that they can manage our national parks and try and prevent the sort of tragedy you see where the national park in Killarney nearly burned to the ground. And where, you know, I don't know if you've been out to the Meeting of the Waters at that direction over by Tomies anytime recently, but the recovery is very slow. And what you end up with when you burn back hillsides like this is you get low grass scrubland rather than the really biodiverse, rich native woodlands that we need to see more of if we're going to be serious about re-establishing and addressing this biodiversity crisis we have. But we cannot do that if we're going to be pitting farming against everything else, because you're just going to create opposition and people start butting heads. We need to incentivize farming to move to more nature-based practices that support their incomes and their livelihoods and the communities they operate in, but also supporting what we need as a country and as a society to reduce our impact on wildlife and decrease our carbon emissions as a country as a whole, particularly in the agricultural sector.
What would it look like finally, Alan? What would our mountainsides, if you reduced the number or if you paid more farmers to manage the land in a way that supports biodiversity, what would our mountainsides, compared to what they look like now, what would they look like in 10 years' time? And why would that be of benefit?
Well, at the moment, the majority of our hillsides are rather barren looking. I mean, there's a certain stark beauty to them in a way. But if you look at the efforts that have been undertaken in Scotland, where they've essentially restricted grazing in areas And you can even see it in Ireland where there'll be a deer fence, or even if you're in Killarney and you look out at the islands and the lakes where there's no deer, there's no sheep, and the islands are exploding with growth, and they're a very safe habitat for Irish wildlife. I think it's not about preventing all hillside grazing. It's about being more targeted about it and using the resources, the natural resources we have, in a way that supports all walks of life, including farm incomes. So, I mean, if you look at what's going on in Scotland, they've taken entire valleys and swathes of the hills, and they've restricted grazing, and they've managed the deer population, and they're exploding with growth, and it's in a positive way. And
have they depopulated those areas, though? Are people still able to have a livelihood and live and work in those areas? Because that's the fear. The concern is the whole place will be turned into some sort of national park, and people won't have enough to live on the land.
Well, people have to have enough to live on the land, and that's the core point of the argument here, is that we must see the Department of Agriculture incentivize people and pay them to do the right thing. And at the moment, burning hillsides is not the right thing. It is a net negative for the people of Kerry as a whole. And people who are grazing on the hills, they are absolutely entitled to make a living like anybody else. And if we can support them in doing that in a way that it enables the rural communities to continue and enable them to continue sheep farming in a way that makes sense, then I think that's what we should be looking at. But we cannot be saying that we're going to remove all hillside grazing, because that is not sustainable. We need to have some amount of it, but we need to be doing it in a way that supports all communities in Kerry and not just one.
All right, Anne Landon of the Green Party, thanks very much for talking to us about that. That's their view in relation to what needs to be done, what is happening at the moment, and why it needs to change. We want to hear from you on the programme.